This week is kind of a part two, but then again, it's not. And in this week's sermon, it was kind of interesting because when you talk about the word love, you can go into so many different directions when you're talking about love. And you can talk about the love of the brethren, the love of God, the love of Jesus, the love for one another, husbands and wives, children. You can go all different directions. And my heart and my mind was kind of going all those different directions. And finally, the Lord just said, just sit down and start writing it out, and I will give you the words to say. So if you're blessed today, it's coming from the Lord. Love is giving and not taking. That's the sermon today. Love is giving and not taking. This ministry, our ministry, your ministry, hinges off of two things. That your love for God is your love for God, number one, is your love for God, number two, and your love for one another. If you remember last week, we shared from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. What is the great commandment Jesus was challenged with? And it said, love God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And then number two, he said, the second one is to love others. And wasn't it John F. Kennedy that said, think not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Now think of this in terms of love. If our love is self-directed instead of other-directed, we are missing the point. I'll say that again. If our love is self-directed, it's not what you can do for me, but what can I do for you? And that's what we're talking about today. Because if you're not thinking in those terms, you have missed the point. What does John chapter 3:16 say? For God so loved himself? No, it says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And John 3:16 and 17, was God's love self-directed or other-directed? His love was other-directed. Turn with me to John 3:16. John 3:16. John 3 and 16. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God's love for you and I was other-directed, that we might come to the knowledge of the truth and be reunited with our Heavenly Father through the gift of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice to end all others. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Go to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, we go down to verse 25. Matthew 20 and verse 25. In verse 25 of Matthew 20, it says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are of great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus says, I didn't come to take, I come to give. I didn't come to rule, but I've come to serve. Think about this as husband and wives. I didn't come to this marriage to take, but I have come to this marriage relationship to give. Not to rule, but to serve. Church members, I didn't come to this church to take. I am not your CEO. In Christian education this morning in faith school, what did I tell the class? That pastors need to smell like sheep because shepherds feed their flock. And we as Christians, we as saints, we as pastors, we are here to serve one another, never to lord over one another, but to serve at one another because the ultimate example has been laid down before you and I. Not to rule, but to serve. Servanthood is the highest calling. As pastors, how can I serve you? Pastor, as church members, how can I serve you? Now look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now that's love in action. That's agape love, other-directed love. Husbands and wives, if your marriage has this attitude, then no one would ever have to worry about who's the head of the household. You get it? No one ever has to worry about who is the head of the household if we are both wanting to serve one another, wanting to give over to the other person, because each's role is to be the other's servant. I am Carol's servant. She is my servant. I am to love her. She is to love me. It's a love of giving, not a love of taking. And we have too much taking in this world today. And it's based on the flesh. And we need to walk as Christians to be walking in the Spirit. Love would be other-directed, and neither one would ever violate the oneness of the relationship. Think about the oneness of the relationship. You are no more two, but now you are one. You become one as a husband and wife. If a woman is threatened by the man being the head of the household, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. Because if everything is right, it would be like saying, Jesus threatens me. Because he wants to serve me. And he laid down his life for me. Now answer me. How does that threaten you? Does Jesus threaten you by saying, I want to lay down my life for you. I want to give you my all. And you know what the scripture says? That husbands are supposed to love the wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave his life for it. Husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's in Ephesians 5:25. As a husband, I'm called to be a spiritual head of the household. If you don't like head, then use spiritual head. Called to be the spiritual head. I'm called to love my wife, to serve my wife to a point of giving my life for her. And what some other words, if we could give other words to characterize it, would be love, to cherish, to mentor, to equip, to do everything that is within my power to help her be all that she can be in Christ Jesus. That's my goal. If I say those things, do those things, and live those things, then maybe it's not this relationship that we are threatened by, but maybe a relationship that's been in the past that hurt. And you need to find forgiveness to be able to move forward. Church members, we can be the same way. There's not a person in this church that hasn't been hurt by another church. If you're going to take all the hurts from that church and bring this into this church, it will always hold you back. You know, I've run into husbands over the years many times at 3M and worked with them, and they'll say, you know what, we'll never have a joint checking account. My money's my money, her money's her money. And he was always going to make sure that they kept it separate. Why? It's because they always wanted to safeguard against what? Being hurt again. I'm going to safeguard what I have because I don't want it all taken because I've had that taken before me. If we come into a relationship with an attitude like that, there's nothing going to be but hurts. Carol and I, we've been in love since we were little kids. I don't know anything different. I can't even tell you how much I got in my checkbook. She takes care of it. Why? Because I trust her, because she loves me, because she wants to serve me, because I want to serve her. It shouldn't be any different that for anybody. But I know that sometimes it is, because sometimes it takes two. It doesn't just take one. But church body, it's for you too. We need to come together in the unity of the Spirit that you cannot fall out of love with me and I cannot fall out of love with you. No matter what happens, no matter what I do, no matter how stupid I am sometimes, I'm going to feel sorry for him, and I'm still going to love Pastor Leo. I'm going to still love Pastor Leo because I may be the only one left to love him. We need to love each other no matter what we experience in life and go through as the body of Christ. And brother and sister, and all the times that we've been hurt in other churches, we need to live them in the other churches. We need to say we forgive that situation because, Father, I want to walk in the newness of you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So it's just not for husbands and wives, but it's for kids. It's for young people growing up. What did I say last week, young people? The first thing you need to do if you're going to get married is, number one, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And number two, you need to make sure the one you're marrying accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and knows Him as Lord and Savior. That you can come into a marriage relationship with the wholeness and the uniqueness that God has for us, because the world does not have it. Now go with me to John chapter 13. It's a scripture that we looked at last week. We've looked at it many times, and we're going to look at it a whole ton more times before we leave this earth. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Church family, husbands and wives, when you exhibit the kind of love we're talking about, then you are exhibiting a love that is not found in this world. These people on the outside that do not know Jesus, will surely say that Joe Whitlatch, he loves everybody he comes in contact with. I've never seen such love exhibited out of a person's life. It must be the love of Jesus, and I want what that person has. Because they will see something in you that the world doesn't have. The world doesn't have that to offer. That's why Jesus says in verse 35, all will know. All will know that you are my disciples. The love we are talking about is a love that can't be bought at Walmart. The world doesn't have it to offer. It can only be produced for your love relationship that you have with Jesus. The world's love is what? Manipulating, controlling, and domineering. Now, I told you that the world's love today is a love that is presented to us last week in the flesh. But we are supposed to love one another as through the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit, the first thing that's on the list is love. He will produce that love through our life if we will allow Him to produce that love as we cling to the vine, and Jesus is the vine. The world does not have that to offer. When it talks about being unequally yoked with an unbeliever, you're coming into an unbalanced situation because you are a believer. They are not a believer. And believers, let me tell you, you will never lift a believer up. An unbeliever will always pull you down. Every time. The words love in this world is manipulating, controlling, domineering. That's the kind of situations where wives get scared because their husband wants to be the head of the household. And I've had husbands tell me that. Well, aren't I supposed to be the head of the household? You're supposed to be the spiritual leader of the household. And you're supposed to love your life as much as Jesus loved the church and be willing to give your life for her. If you're not willing to give your life for her, then you need to back up because something's wrong in your life. Amen? It's a fact. All other of those other self-interest words of manipulating, controlling, and domineering, because every one of you have experienced it. If you haven't experienced it at home, you've experienced it in the workplace. They don't care about anybody. They don't love anybody. They don't care about the other person. They only want to get up the next rung of the ladder. And you and I have experienced that. We've experienced politics wherever we are at. Politics are self-directed. They're not other-directed. Why? Because the word's love is self, flesh-based rather than other-based. And the love in the church is supposed to be other-based. Just think about it just for a minute. How much of your love is self-based? We've all been there. Hello? What motivates your love? Is it flesh-led or is it spirit-led? If you think you're perfect, if your walk with Jesus is perfect, then I say, hello, I just found something. Something that you can probably work on. Something that you probably need forgiveness in. Is because sometimes we will not walk in the Spirit, but we will walk in the flesh. Young people, last week I said, before you get married, you need to be saved. Your fiancé needs to be saved. Today, couples, if you're not saved, you need to be. To learn how to love each other in the right way. Because I swear to you, you'll never learn how to love each other the right way until you accept Jesus. It's a fact. You'll never learn how to love each other the right way until you accept Jesus. In this world we live in today, when you and I were growing up, I'm an old guy, okay? And when I was an old guy growing up, even though my family didn't go to church, and even those other people in the town didn't go to church, there was still agape love that was being extended to other people. Why? Is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church's life. And as the presence of the Holy Spirit began to diminish because people stopped walking for God, then their love grew cold. What does it say in the last days? It will be perilous times. Why will it be perilous times? Because mankind will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. My interests, my wants. Let me tell you something, young people. The NFL, Major Baseball, and Pro Basketball, if you added up all three of those things, of the money that they make a year, you would only be getting close to money, the money that is brought into this world through pornography in the United States. Self-interest, self-love, self-gratification, self-wants, self-desires. And if you take that attitude into a marriage relationship, it will not work. Somebody told me a joke one time. It's only funny if you're a guy. So if you're a guy, you're going to laugh. Little boy comes to his wife and he comes to his mother and he says, Mom, he says, why are wedding dresses white? And she thinks, well, I'm going to dump this off on the old man. We'll see how he answers. So she said, well, honey, why don't you just go see your dad and ask him that question? So he goes to his dad and he says, Dad, why are wedding dresses white? And he thinks a minute and he says, well, son, all good appliances come in white. Now, for a guy, I've heard that before, and I chuckled. But it's not funny if it's real life, is it? Because there's too many women that are in that situation. Because they're being domineered and they're being controlled in a relationship rather than loved and respected as they should be. I guarantee you, I will do everything within my power. Carol will do everything within her power to love you as you need to be loved. Cared for as you need to be cared for. Respected as you need to be respected. And husbands and wives, you should do the same for each other. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Father, to surround this place as only that you can. Minister to each heart and to each life. We thank you for the presence of you. Jesus laid down his life for you. Praise be to God. Because it is the only way that we could be united back together with our Heavenly Father. The gulf of sin was so wide that you and I could never cross it. But Jesus crossed it for us. He offered that sacrifice that was once and only to end all other sacrifices. And we praise him forevermore. Whatever sin that we ever commit in our lives, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes. You might not think that, but if you ask Carol, she'd give you a list of mistakes that I make. We all make mistakes. But praise be to God, because of our relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, we can come to him as our high priest and ask for forgiveness. And he is just to forgive us of our sins. And we praise him forevermore.